Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Okay. Nets, Celtics, game one Saturday, 8 o'clock Eastern on ABC. And if you use the promo code HARDEN, you can get tickets to the Barclays Center at half price. Vaccinated.
I see a lot of Knicks fans that are throwing shade at Brooklyn's fans.
I mean,
because
it is
MSG
playoffs.
Has
you can't
you know,
sell, you can't
sold
can't
out
in 20 minutes.
In 20 minutes, impressive.
Two games,
impressive.
So what? Can,
awesome.
What can they do in Brooklyn
Congrats.
In terms of capacity?
What, I'm just saying.
It's no, great.
I believe both buildings have the same
capacity,
like ability, right?
I'm not sure.
No, it has to be. It's in the
it's
same
New York.
City.
Yeah, it's got to be.
What's
the same.
Allowable? It's yeah. the percentage that you're allowed.
And so the Nets are struggling.
Well, not really. If James Harden is offering half price tickets to go to a playoff game for three superstars, come watch them, please. Like, yeah, I mean, I guess.
Well, maybe because you people assume,
way.
Maybe because people assume they're gonna run away with it anyway.
So I'll come see them in the second round when.
When
I
like
can't
that.
Get him for half price?
Yeah, I come in the second round or I wait to the finals. It's like L.A. with the Lakers. They show up late and leave early because we already know what's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit up here and make excuses. I mean, that's a huge nod up to the Knicks.
Yikes.
Respect to the Knicks.
No, it ain't no excuses.
That's a huge nod to the Knicks. I mean, the fact that he could sell out in 20 minutes, that's a statement.
Does it show the desperation of a fan base?
That's something that Brooklyn needs to talk about and work on.
That's thirsty.
But that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, exactly.
Those tickets were bought basically because it's like, we don't know when we're going to have this again. Yeah. Like, you get it. It's a run on things. Like, that's what this is. It was a run on, like, something that you don't know. Like, that's a rare commodity
crazy,
that I need to get. I can't wait for Sunday just to hear the building.
Yeah, it's
going to
be crazy if the building capacity is around 19,000
and you've
15,
got 15.
Yeah, that's basically sold out. And like I said before, you got the rats that'll sneak in from underneath.
Why
and you got a couple other people that's. I mean,
you just keep bringing
you know.
Up rats.
By the way, low key, like, that's a dope series. So you got the way the Knicks defend, but also going against Trae Young and how Trae Young plays and where he shoots the ball from.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a tough series.
That pick and roll with him and Capella
deadly.
Was the last time they played each other. Unstoppable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they tried everything and couldn't stop it. And that, to me, is the biggest concern
Knicks,
in that series.
The Knicks brought out the broom on them in the regular season, though, right?
They beat them 3-0, but the caveat is they were losing that third game because Trae and Capella were unstoppable, and then Trae got hurt. And that game flipped, and the Knicks ended up winning. So, you know, we shall see. Of course, again,
we'll see
where that goes. Now, headline-wise, Nets-Celtics, that's got some snap, crackle, pop because of some history between the two franchises, right? Like, it feels like, hey, that could be a fun series too, but you think that the Nets should just really roll through this team. Brad Stevens said something that caught a lot of people's attention when talking about the Nets. You remember how you say, like, you don't put anything out in public, players will just downplay things? What do you think of what Brad Stevens, the Celtics coach, what he said about the Nets and just how difficult they're going to be to beat?
And those guys are the best of the best. And going into that, if I'm a fan, and just a general fan of the NBA, I have a hard time seeing them lose. So we're going to have to play great. We're going to have to play great together. And, we're going to have to be really, really sound on both ends of the floor.
A hard time.
So are you saying your team has a chance?
Them loose.
Are you saying your team has a chance?
So you're making that reaction. Kendrick Perkins, friend of the show, ESPN NBA analyst and also a former Celtic, he had this take when he heard Brad Stevens say that and, in fact, got so mad he screwed up his last name.
Brad Stevens, if you love Brooklyn that much, why don't you go coach him? Go join the coaching staff. Listen, I played for the Boston Celtics for 8.5 years, all right? I know the definition is the city of champions. They have something that's called Celtic pride. That wasn't Celtic pride. And no, I wouldn't want to play with Brad Stevens. How can I go to war with a coach that is sitting up here praising and glorifying an opponent that I possibly could upset? How about going in, how about saying, hey, we're going to be prepared. We're going to be ready. I know y'all crowning them, but I got enough, and we're going to come to compete. How about saying that, Brad Stevenson?
Brad Stevenson. By the way, as somebody that does that often on this show, God bless you, Perk. I feel you. It does happen.
I don't mind the coach what he said. I mean, that's fine. That's nothing.
Coach speak? Is that coach
it's
speak?
It's coach speak, but he also understands what he's up against. I mean – coaches, Bill Belichick always gives a little nugget to the other team. Oh, yeah, you know, they're fantastic.
I've never heard Bill Belichick say it's going to be hard to see them lose.
So
that's the part.
Well, I mean, maybe the choice of words could have been different, right?
Can I unload a little bit here?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I being around Paul a lot since even Paul first came into the league.
Which Paul?
Paul Pierce, playing against KG for my short stint in the league, but still being around him, being close to guys like Tony Allen. Obviously, Big Perk and I feel like family.
He's talking about that championship.
There was a roar. There was an anger, a feeling of being underappreciated with that team. That was the same feeling that you felt like Larry Bird and those teams had. Where it was like, yo, you disrespect us, we're going to beat your head in. Like, we're going to be that gritty, nitty, grinded out type team. Doc reflected that as well and how they would talk. And there's something that I relate to with Perk, because you want to have that same dire and that same passion from your head coach. I don't care what anybody says. There is a trickle-down effect from your head coach to how the rest of your team thinks and feels. And it feels like, listening to Brad talk, that's the same kind of mentality his team has. And you don't want that team, if we have these kind of questions about that team from leadership and playing with passion and questioning whether they bring that energy each and every night, you don't want to hear that kind of talk from your head coach. You want to hear your head coach set a tone that's saying, I don't care who we're playing against. We coming out to win and compete. And there is something to be said about that. So I feel Perk's anger on that, and I feel kind of frustrated because I want more from the Boston Celtics. And you know who it starts with? It doesn't start with Jason Tatum. It starts with Brad Stevens. Just saying.
But his temperament's been that way the entire time as a coach, and he went to three out of the four last NBA Eastern Conference Finals. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying. You're looking at it from a Boston standpoint, the way it's been for quite some time. Every organization has a certain template of how they do things, right? Diving on the floor, scrappy, kind of like this. Not necessarily anger, but kind of like KG brought, which was like, yeah, I'm going to take care of business. We're going to take care of business together. You look at like Chicago Bears in football. They run the ball. They play hard defense. That's never going to change. That is who they are. It's been that way forever. And with the Celtics, all the way back to Larry Bird and them, they was always this scrappy, gritty, diving on the floor. Coach was a certain way. Players waving towels. You're missing that a little bit, is what you're saying.
Franchise identity. Right now. You're talking about franchise identity. That goes back to the days of Bill Russell, Bob Cousy.
Well, I wasn't around for that.
But I'm saying, but that's always been what they've
always been
about.
Who they are.
Yeah.
Always been what
they like the
about
Lakers.
Tommy Hinsohn.
And this franchise identity feels unknown. Like, you're like, what is it? Like, well, who are the Boston? Like, if I were to ask you guys both, do you guys both watch basketball? Who are the Boston Celtics? How would you answer that? Just you both pausing proves my point. Yeah. You're like, you don't know who they are or what they represent. You know they have talent. You know Jason Tatum could trend towards being one of the best players in the league. Jaylen Brown's a hell of a player. But you're like, I don't know who Boston is.
You know what the Celtics are? An enigma.
Yeah.
Because you look at them and think they should be better than they are. They should be. They should be better than they are.
So who's
and
their
fault? There's always excuses for not, whether it's injuries, whether it's, you know, whatever it is. Players.
But who
left.
Does it fall on then, Alan?
I tell you what you said in your passion speech about the Celtics.
Passion.
What you said, though, is basically what Danny Ainge was.
Hmm.
And
yes.
Danny Ainge is the
That's
guy at the very top of this organization. And usually a GM will make a team in his own likeness, right? This is who I am. I'm making a team like this. And it's odd that Danny Ainge has gone away from exactly what he was and what he was part of when he played for
the Celtics. Well, he did it with Doc, and he did it with KG and them, and then they kind of got away.
That's what I mean, though. They've moved from that. They used to be that. That was that. What you said about that team, and you named all those, I mean, T.A. and obviously Garnett. I mean, that,
in their
that
DNA.
Team was tough.
It's in their DNA.
And that has – they don't have that anymore, that toughness.
And then people say, well, you know, Rajon Rondo
Smart,
and Ray
maybe.
Allen, these guys used to fight. I'm like, yeah, they did used to fight. You know why? Because you had dudes in there who would draw lines in the sand. They didn't care what you had, even their own teammates. They're still fighting. We still talk about whether Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, and KG can get together and get over that, right?
Well, like KG didn't mention him in his Hall of Fame speech.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's that type of temperament. So if who provides that temperament on that team? Marcus Smart to a degree, yeah. But, like, that's where you wish, to a degree, that Brad Stevens had that a little bit. I know we're mincing words, but I just...
He did literally say it's hard seeing them lose.
It's hard seeing them lose.
As a head coach...
I'm not saying that. I'm not letting my players hear me
say
that.
I've always believed this. And, again, players like what KB said the other day...
He could be using a different strategy. I mean, he could just be using a different strategy to make them feel a certain way.
It's the same,
you think
so? It's the same like Tim Anderson... It's the same like Tim Anderson for the White Sox, right? Same way he's tweeting, like, I hear, I see nothing. I'm just out here doing my thing. It's like, okay, I mean, you're still going to go do your thing as a player, but, man, you want
– But you guys said, it's like, when I went on about Durant and how Durant was talking about how, like, you know, well, you guys worry about whether who's the favorites. Athletes don't think that way. All right, that might be the way athletes want to speak publicly because maybe you don't want to disrespect an opponent. You don't want to do it, whatever it is. But I've always felt like a head coach, especially in markets like Boston – you're not only coaching your players, you're speaking to your fan base.
Yes, you're coaching your fan base
really
as well about how to think.
And I've always felt like that in New York, especially like when Bill Parcells spoke, like in New York, when he was a coach in New York, it was like when he spoke, he's like, that's my coach. So when you're talking the way Brad Stevens is talking, there's a fan base of people in Boston who already now are frustrated with how your team has looked this season, and they want to hear from you. Give me something. Show me a little fight. Show me a little something. And when you hear, well, it's going to be hard to see them lose, you're just like,
Set the tone.
You don't feel like we can lose?
Set the mindset that you want to establish for your team to your fan base. And that's who your fan base is.
But
blue collar, hardworking, grind you out. I'll work 24/7, 365 just to earn. It doesn't matter. That's the Boston fan base.
But did he change his approach from the past to where he is today?
No, you're right. He's been consistent.
That's
true.
And so.
Maybe they're just missing that piece somewhere in the organization. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Let's bring in Monica McNutt into the conversation, ESPN basketball analyst and a friend of the show. Monica,
what up, Monica?
Good morning.
Good morning, y'all. Ooh. What's happening?
Let's get it.
You got key off.
Man, in my ear. Hey.
Monica,
I have nothing to do with that, Keyshawn.
I know you heard part of that conversation. You yourself, how do you feel about what Brad Stevens said, using the phrase again, hard time seeing them lose, meaning the Nets, as his team is going to play them in the first round? Do you see that as sort of like what Perk said? He feels like it was extremely passive and he needed to hear something a little more stronger from the coach? Or do you think maybe it's a little more just coach speak publicly?
Listen, Han, as soon as I saw this quote, hated it. And I know yesterday on First Take, they were parsing it out. And technically, he says, if I'm a fan, it's hard to see this team lose. But why are you even talking like that? You're supposed to be the one galvanizing us. To me, it represents a softness. And I think, Jay Will, you nailed it. Like, is that the identity? We're going to do our best. But this team is a challenge, and it's hard to see them losing. It kind of feels like that's the way the season has gone for the Celtics, outside of the COVID issues, maybe.
You know what it sounds like, Monica, when somebody's like, you know, you're in a relationship, someone's like, I'm doing my best. Well, your best isn't good enough. I need your best to be different. You know, it's exactly what it feels like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah. So let me.
I thought Monica was going to expand.
I thought she was going to explain that too, but it's all right.
I mean, I don't think there's, to me, you guys nailed it. Like, No. Like, there's no psycho and nothing. No, like, reverse psychology, none of that. No. I think, to me, if that's a guy like Frank Vogel saying that, maybe a Doc Rivers, right, a team that's been handling their business all season and we have no questions, then maybe. But to me, the entire identity of this Celtics squad, top to the bottom, no. I can't do it.
We were talking about Steph Curry earlier in the show and – how, again, what Tim Legler was saying this too, KD's presence with him might have taken a little bit away from legacy when you talk about him as one of the greats of all times because, well, KD came and without him, maybe you don't win those rings and all that stuff. And I had said this, Monica, and I wonder how you feel about it. What he's done this year, especially midway through the year when he really got frustrated with his young team and felt like they don't understand what it takes to win, and instead of complaining, he showed them basically what it takes to win. And he's gotten them now to a point where tonight, get a win, and you've gotten the eighth seed in the Western Conference. And I feel like that also that does add to his legacy because after you've had greatness with great players, if your greatness continues even with a weaker roster, that says a lot about you. So do you think what Steph's doing this year, if he can win tonight and get them into the playoffs, would that be another thing to talk about, another piece of his, on his resume as far as one of the greats?
Of course, but full disclosure, because I refuse to allow my career to be built on a foundation of flip-flopping, I actually picked the Grizzlies tonight, for the record. That doesn't take anything away from Steph in my mind. I think he's had an incredible season. But if Legs is going to analyze who he ran alongside, if KD is a part of that equation, so is Klay Thompson in my mind. I don't think that you discredit a guy because he was a part of a terrific unit, especially when you think about how the original Warriors run came together. But this is leadership 100% by example. I mean, he went on a torrid streak. Who shoots 46% from three over the course of a month? Like, it's absolutely insane. But I don't think we don't have to decide all of this right now, I guess, is my thing. Like, if the Grizzlies pull off this upset tonight, I don't think that is a knock against Steph at all. I know Max disagreed with me yesterday. But what he did and what he has done, we need to 100% appreciate it. And I think we do that. But the beauty of this is we still got more Steph left to experience. And I don't think he's done winning championships. Even if they win tonight, I don't see them getting out of the first round.
Speaking of championships, let's talk about the New York Knicks for a second and their road.
Speaking of championships?
Their quest to get back to win a championship.
No, I appreciated you saying that.
Yeah.
Saying championship. Okay, I mean,
to repeat.
That's why Tibbs is out there. That's why they're out there to compete, right?
I would hope so.
What do you think the energy is going to be like in the Garden? Describe it to me, because I feel like this Hawks series is about to be live.
100%. Like, the energy, I can't describe the energy in the Garden. I think that is clearly going to be the loudest 15,000 you have ever heard. When the Garden first opened up, we heard the guys talking postgame, even with the just 2,000. It felt like, to them, a playoff atmosphere compared to an empty, cavernous, historic Madison Garden. So I know it's going to be insane in there. Tickets have already sold out. But beyond that, I really think that this team, and Han, you know this, I think that they have built to this moment. I remember the press conference with the Big 15, and I was kind of like, haha, that's cute. Because the question was, how do you deal with the Big 3 that Brooklyn has? And Reggie and Drew responded, we got a Big 15. While it was sort of kind of a joke, that has 100% been the identity of this squad. The Big 15, led by Julius Randle, with Tibbs pulling the shots or calling the shots just right.
Monica, what's changed for Julius Randle this year? What? Why is he like a monster right now?
Simplifying, Keyshawn. To me, he's just simplified. I think you saw the crazy videos of his postseason or his offseason workouts, excuse me. He was focused on another level. And I think we've all talked about, to a degree, how the pandemic caused us to have to sit with ourselves. And I think he did that. And he acknowledged some holes in his game in terms of what he could be better in physically. But I also think he's gotten in the gym and watched tape. He's been with Kenny Payne. I think Tibbs has given him a system that streamlined it. Because we sort of joked last year, and it can be a joke now because he's improved. But last year, he would get the ball at the top of the key, start spinning around in the paint, and it was just all downhill from there. And I've said that to him, and he kind of jokes too. But this year, he's getting to his spots. It's much more simple. And I think the team around him has improved. I don't know that he's given me 6 assists per game if RJ Barrett hasn't improved his shooting, if Reggie Bullock has emerged as a 3-and-D guy. So I just think overall, the system has been so much cleaner this year. And again, this team has an identity.
Based on what the Knicks are this year, has it improved their chances in the future to possibly land a big-time free agent via trade or somebody coming because they want to be a part of the New York excitement?
Han, you know my heart is starting to beat fast.
Yes. What are you going to do? Who's going to be?
Okay, listen. Here's the deal. My favorite conversation this year with Drew was an event we did for some fans. And he said, we are doing things the right way. And that starts with leadership, front office changes, then you got Tibbs, and then obviously you have players. He said it himself, whatever that yields in the future, right now we are doing things the right way. And you guys know you can't cheat the game in terms of the process or actually playing on the court. And so I do think that the basketball guys look favorably on teams doing things the right way. And I have maintained, it's my third year working with MSG, I have maintained there is still no place like New York City. There's still not quite a brand like the New York Knicks. So to me, I mean, Han has been through this a few more times than I have. The answer is yes. And the other day, in theory, I had this conversation on radio with Mike Golic Jr. What if international flavor, super dope point guard, the spot that the Knicks have been clamoring after, what if a Luka Doncic in 2022, whose deal is going to have to, you know, be looked at, was available? Whew.
Are you really going to put that out there, Monica? Because you know what's going to happen from there.
Monica,
right?
I just want you to know, I've been on this show, and I said that. I said that same exact thing, Monica. I'm with you.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
I'm with you.
You trade Porzingis to Dallas, and then Luka leaves.
Amazing.
What are they doing in Dallas? That's going to be a big-time question. Like, Rick Carlisle, like, he hasn't been back to the, what, the, I mean, second round of playoffs since 2012?
Yeah, and
it's
they've
been
got
a minute.
He's off a rookie deal. That's just so much harder to do. I don't like that we end up going into this thing where we just fall back on the we're back on the hamster wheel, right? Like that's what it feels like.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on, Han. Hold on. But I think you got to take a deep breath though, because the difference this time, even think about it. We was covering this team all season, even before the 9-game win streak, the 4 seed. The one thing that you could certainly be confident in and most excited about is the trajectory that this team has shown.
Yes.
And not, this team aside, the modern NBA is about teaming up. So don't make it a, here we go again on the hamster wheel. This is just the reality of the game. Do I think that Drew and RJ can emerge into guys that are part of a trio? Yeah.
Well, the teaming up
part.
But are
we there yet?
But Monica, the teaming up part you bring up, you mentioned RJ. That seems to me, in some future, more likely because of RJ's relationship with Zion Williamson.
Wait, Monica, can I ask you a question?
No.
Do you think if this team
stays
the way it's currently constructed, do they finish next year as the 4th seed or better?
Oh, Jay.
Oh, that's an easy answer. Come on, Monica. You can answer that. As currently constructed?
No.
Yeah, I didn't want to do that, though. I know the answer. I just didn't want to say it. Currently constructed, probably not. I think when you look at what happened this year, two teams in my mind stand out that were really hit by COVID that have talented rosters. Actually, three. I think the Celtics are better, if not for all their COVID issues. I think the Wizards have a stronger start, if not for all their COVID issues. I mean, I think Miami, right? Like, Miami obviously in the finals a little bit fatigued. So, no, probably not. They got to address that point guard truly. I mean, I would love for Derrick Rose to be vintage D. Rose full stop, but, you know, age is a real thing. So, no, would be the answer to that question.
It just poses that interesting question. Like, if they can't make moves, if there's nothing happening, even if they were to maybe get Alonzo Ball or something like that, propel them? They have to land somebody big.
I was just about to say, Jay, it's New York. They got to get a superstar, period, whether people want to try and grow organically or not. You in New York, whether you're Brooklyn, whether you're the Knicks, you in L.A., whether you're the Clippers or Lakers, you got to have stars.
Yeah, they have.
You just got to.
What they've done this year is advance the cause. Monica, we got to run, but that's really what they've done. They've advanced the cause. Monica, thank you so much.
Next time, girl.
Yes, for sure. Always. Monica
McNutt. All right, y'all. Have a good one.
All right, Monica.
On the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. So what impact did KD's arrival in Golden State have on Steph Curry's legacy? We'll discuss after Jay has this.
That would be Keyshawn.
After Key has this.
Thank you.
From Straight Talk.
It's time for some Straight Talk. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like a walk-off home run in the 9th inning good? Okay, maybe not that damn good, but pretty darn good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys. Plus, no contract. Man, that's sweet. All on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot, Jay, when you can pay half? Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Buckets!
Coming up this morning on KJC, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver on the play-in tournament and the state of the NBA as we head into the playoffs. Adam Silver with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning at 9:15 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN News.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Has. That's the call on AM 570 LA Sports. Why not? Albert Pujols. Homers for the Dodgers in a 3-2 win over the Diamondbacks. He signed a one-year deal on Monday. The Dodgers have won four straight since, and that was his 668th career home run, the most among active players, fifth all-time as well. The Wizards beat the Pacers 142-115 in the Eastern Conference play-in tournament last night. They clinched the eighth seed. And that means they'll face the top-seeded 76ers in the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. The Western Conference, tonight we've got Warriors-Grizzlies playing for the eighth seed and a chance to meet up with the top-seeded Utah Jazz in the first round. Warriors-Grizzlies, you can see on ESPN TV and hear it on ESPN Radio. And coverage begins on ESPN Radio at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder have verbally agreed to a trilogy fight. The fight is set for a tentative date of July 24th. Earlier this week, an arbitrator ruled that Fury was contractually obligated to give Wilder a rematch. So the two men fought to a draw in 2018, and then Fury picked up a seventh-round TKO victory to win the WBC heavyweight title in February of 2020. SportsCenter brought to you by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Market madness continues now. We have another bracket. This is the last region. We are calling this one the Title Town region, which when I name one of those names, you like, but, really? You know, we had to be creative. And that's what
great job,
do.
Pat Costello, one of our producers. Great job.
Actually, stop hating.
It has
recognition.
Been a great,
no,
just
has
say
been.
It. Let's a just clear job. The air. Let's just clear the air. Name the names. You can rip us as producers, and then we can explain why.
I was coming from a place of appreciation.
Thank you. Alan was coming
Nate.
From hate.
I did coming from hate. When just saying that when we play, when we give you one of these names,
there was sass.
You were.
Why you don't, are you so you don't aggressive? Have, you don't have to rip me. It's fine.
I was appreciating you.
Anger in the you know, control today. It is a fight.
Jeez. You guys.
Let's get to it.
That's so, really great radio. Well, somebody
great.
Said that.
Like, great radio. Getting,
are we going
show,
there?
It's not quite radio. Like getting up and walking out, but it was uh-oh. Great radio.
Are we going radio. There? Get up and walk off you know, the show
have,
again, yeah.
We have breaking are we news that you just get up and walk out?
I dare you.
How can we just get up and walk out? Great radio.
Terrible.
Because we are also on television, so people that are at home can visualize. I mean, people at home can see it, and the ones in the car can visualize. You know,
I don't know about y'all watching or listening to your cars, but we petty up here. We're going to take shots back at people. We're going to take shots back at people. Don't think we're going to try to, oh, they're so highbrow, they just look over it. Nope.
No.
We know who you are.
We're coming down to your level.
But I appreciate that you do pay attention to what I do every single day.
Thanks for watching.
Thank you for listening and watching.
And watching.
Can I move along.
Yes, we're ready now.
Titletown Region, you can vote now on at Key and Key J and Z. The voting till 10:30 a.m., so be on the show. Steph Curry, of course, Titletown, that makes sense, Bay Area. Lindsey Whalen, Minnesota, yes, yeah, champion with the Lynx, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Patrick Kane, Chicago, oh. Blackhawks,
makes
right?
Sense.
Lots
keep
of champions.
Keep the names going, yeah.
Joe Burrow. Cincinnati.
Who else you going to pick in Cincinnati?
No, but we're using – no, he was the number one in Cincinnati.
Oh, he was number one, yeah.
But
yeah,
to
yeah,
put
yeah,
him
yeah.
in a bracket, we had as well. He did win a college championship, just not
– But if he was number Cincinnati. One in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Title well, because the baseball dude in Cincinnati.
Joey Votto?
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't want – he no. finished two, huh?
Yeah, I believe he did. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that's why Joe Burrow was Cincinnati? The number one seed.
Nothing on the Bobcat.
It was
the
coach. It was
the coach. Yeah, from, but he was third.
University.
Luke Fickell.
Yeah.
Right.
I almost calling Luke Farrell. Luke Fickell.
Okay. So again, right now though, as the voting
Luke
has
Farrell,
begun,
Will Farrell's brother.
Will Farrell. Yeah.
I got them mixed up.
Yeah. You guys are great. You guys are crazy. Steph Curry leading the way big time, 62.2%. Patrick Kane second, 22.4%. Hockey people show out. So that's going on right now in the market madness. But Steph
Where's
Curry.
Sidney Crosby? Where's he at?
We're going to do the Sidney Crosby thing again.
Sidney
to
Crosby.
Explain to people once again, we went to 16 markets. Our experts in those markets gave us a top three in each market of the current sports figures of their market who were the most popular. We did not have Pittsburgh. Alex Ovechkin, Patrick Kane, those were the hockey guys.
I was just asking a question. I don't know why you're all angry at me.
No, I wasn't angry. I just thought you're right. I should explain.
Mario Lemieux too, huh?
Market Madness brought to you by Indeed. Hiring? Start finding the right people right away. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Stay with us because we will have Adam Silver on with us in the next hour, the NBA commissioner. So it will get better, I promise. But we will talk about Steph Curry. It looks like for Titletown region, if you're going to vote, I mean, again, as far as popularity goes, among the biggest stars in the country, right? Like, again, not just in that Bay Area, but around the country. And we were just talking about it earlier. And Tim Legler did say this about Curry and his legacy. We talk legacy about a lot of these superstars and where the Warriors are playing in just to get into the playoffs, to play tonight against the Grizzlies. They got to win to get in and get into the postseason. And the feeling is, like, what kind of season Steph Curry's had? An MVP-caliber season. In fact, he's one of the finalists for MVP this season. But listen to what Legg says about Steph Curry and the legacy conversation with him of where we put him right now among the all-time greats.
Steph Curry won two MVPs before Kevin Durant went to Golden State. And his star was ascending year by year, and he was still just entering his prime years. And then Durant went there, and they cannibalized each other a lot of ways in terms of how they're viewed historically. You know, they cannibalized their chances to win any more MVPs, all of that stuff. Steph Curry at that time was not really being talked about as an all-time great, like top 10 player, you know, second greatest point guard to Magic Johnson. For him to be able to do this again at this stage of his career, it basically what it's shown me is, can you imagine what the last 5 years or so would have looked like if Kevin Durant never went there, where Steph Curry would have cemented himself clearly as a top 10 player and in some people's minds, the greatest second greatest point guard of all time.
But here's my thing. You don't know that. I feel what Legs is saying. Like, yeah, can you imagine the stats would have been there? But then, like, you can imagine.
Would they have won titles?
Yeah, would they have won titles? Like, would they have? Because also, I mean, Steph and Clay are the best backcourt we've ever seen, but it also felt like other teams in the NBA stylistically were imitating and catching up to what Golden State was doing. I'm not saying they could imitate it, but they were catching up quickly.
Refresh my mind. When KD got there, who did they beat in the championship?
It's Cleveland, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. If he wasn't on that team, it would have only been Clay, Steph, Draymond,
Iguodala was still there. Remember, they had the 73-win team, and they didn't get it done because they blew the lead,
yeah.
And that's when KD came in.
So would they have beaten LeBron and them if KD wasn't on the team?
Wow. Well, I mean.
No, I'm just saying because when you look at it.
They were so much better.
It was night and day.
But what did
it was like we were – I mean, the same way we're talking about.
Because remember, that was LeBron's kind of exit from Cleveland. Like, that was it. Yeah. At that point. And you remember the famous moment where JR, like, was that game one?
Yes, right.
JR had the rebound, and he just dribbles it out, and he's like, what are you doing? Like, all of us who have teenagers, we all felt the same way at one point in our lives. But, like, that's kind of what that series was about. That wasn't even close.
And I'll say this, team-wise, you know, we got into that debate at the beginning of the year about whether Brooklyn has a chance to be a better team than what that Golden State was. Look, we said Brooklyn has a long way to go before they'll become a better team than what that Golden State was. I still think the trio scoring-wise is a little bit more prolific than what they had in Golden State because of the way they can do it. But the continuity and the system, like if you watch the system and how they guard, I'm probably getting too basketball insider for people.
Yes, you are.
But you see how they backdoor cut? Like it's continuity, man. Like there's so much moving. It's a beautiful – it's one of the best well-designed offenses there is in the league, by the way.
And Steph didn't
By the way, some triangle in that.
There is, man.
Steph didn't have to fill it up the way he has to now because he had other people to lean on. So when you have other great players around you, you don't have to do every damn thing.
Right, but I still find this year to be one of his most remarkable performances because, as you said,
he had to,
and now he's got them on the verge of making the playoffs. I do think you got to get it done tonight, though, to really complete the season for him and what he's had.
This is, I hope I don't sound like I'm hating because I'm not, because I appreciate what Stephen Curry is doing. Mm-hmm. But he's doing a lot to be the eighth seed.
Right. Oh, I know, and if he doesn't,
I know.
If they don't win,
if they don't win, I mean, then what?
It does kind of change the conversation. So it is something certainly to watch.
What? That's just true. I mean, they're fighting for the eighth seed.
ESPN and ESPN
Radio. Not devaluing what Steph has done this year has been incredible.
Coming up next, take it or shake it. Always a lot of fun after Jay has this.
It must be Jay because it's not me.
Indeed,
I paid off the last one.
Why do you guys just love to sabotage?
Need to hire people fast, Alan?
No, go ahead.
Indeed can help you beat the clock with powerful hiring tools like Instant Match. Just sponsor a job and Indeed will send you a list of resumes from Indeed's database on the spot. They also have 135 skills tests for things like computer proficiency or customer service talent so you can find the right candidates faster. Do you know 10 hires are made every minute? Every minute on Indeed? Just goes to show you that when you need people for work, Indeed works. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Coming up this morning on KJC, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver on the play-in tournament and the state of the NBA as we head into the playoffs. Adam Silver with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning at 9:15 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN News.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
On J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline, reminding everybody in about a half hour, Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, will be joining us on the show. Looking forward to that conversation. But right now, I'm going to take a segment off and let Evan take over.
Yeah, that's right. It's time for Take It or Shake It, brought to you by Grainger. Guys, I want you to listen to some sound and then react to it. This is CC Sabathia on his podcast with Ryan Rucco. Talking about Tony La Russa.
That's just stupid. It's stupid, period. I'm sorry. This is terrible. He shouldn't be managing that team. And if you're not going to step up and have your players back, what's the point of being the manager of the White Sox?
See, perfectly said.
Take it or shake it. Perfectly said by CC Sabathia.
Take it. He gave you 6 beeps.
The last beep was really long.
Yeah, so that lets you know he was serious about that. And look, man, Tony is stuck in Stone Ages, and he's got to get out of it if he wants to continue to manage a certain way.
I don't think it's stuck in Stone Ages. What he was doing there, though, I think – and Sabathia, by the way, never a guy that would hesitate to throw at somebody because of the unwritten rules. Yeah. Like, that was always part of him, and he believes in it. But it's not that as much as it's – Tony, it's your player, and he got thrown at. Like, publicly, at least you might privately say to him, hey, listen, we shouldn't be doing
see,
it.
Alan,
but publicly, you should have a problem with it. Don't throw my guys.
But
like, have your
true.
Guys back.
You should have his back, but he's so stuck in the Stone Age days, he could tell his player – see that, or tell somebody, see, that's what you get for doing that, opposed to saying, yo, he shouldn't be throwing at my player. He should do that.
Yeah, well, you can say that publicly and then tell your player behind closed doors, yo, you should listen to me in the first place.
Yes.
But, I mean, hey, look, first class problems when you're stuck in first place.
Fair point.
You're in first place.
Mm.
All right.
That's what, again,
tell me whatever you want to tell me.
How's it working out for me?
How's it in first place?
It's true.
Get the uncensored version that's on the R2C2 podcast. Tune in tomorrow, guys. The White Sox are in action. It's an AL battle on ESPN Radio. Yankees host the White Sox. Ooh. Coverage begins at 12:30 on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. And this MLB weekend preview is brought to you by Credit Karma. Visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Credit Karma. Credit money. Credit Karma money. Progress starts here.
Yeah.
Thought we were doing
good. We'll give these to Alan.
Right now, you good with that?
No, you want to try it? Hey, do you want to try it?
Did you sprain something? Well,
Alan thought we were the only ones had problems doing the retail.
It's not as easy as you think, right?
It's Credit Karma. Get it right.
Terrible.
Terrible.
That's Credit Karma money. Progress starts here.
Market madness.
Progress starts for Kevin Durant and the Nets. Kevin Durant and the Nets will win more than one championship with the Nets. Take it or shake it.
Take it. Yeah, I think they will.
More than one?
Yeah. Oh, they're going to be here for a minute. They're not going anywhere.
You got 2 years left on the deal.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it. They're not just – where you going next? Damn, you've been everywhere.
You never know.
Kyrie can't go to another team.
Yeah, he could.
Why? You just want him to.
I don't. Kyrie Irving is from New Jersey. The Nets have been his favorite team since he's been a little kid.
Yeah.
Do you trust
Kevin Durant and Kyrie
alongside
brothers?
And James ain't trying to go again.
He's just going to keep playing.
Yes.
Despite the fact that he does talk about being conflicted a lot about what's going on in the world and how it's hard to focus on basketball.
Well,
you think for sure.
It is hard. I mean, it's every day. It's hard for people to focus on their regular day jobs.
I was about to say focus on everyday life, but we're still doing it.
We're still doing it.
You think it's not hard for us to get up and come in here every damn day and do this show? But we're still doing it.
Okay. You guys said take it. I say shake it.
You saying it for some other reasons?
No,
though.
I'm not. Is that one. I'm saying
you said it for
one?
Some old Knicks.
More
stuff.
Than one.
You just don't even want to give the Nets their credit. That's how you
it's
are.
Knicks.
A fan.
Yeah, it's
I literally
a Knicks
said
deal.
They probably will win this
it.
Year.
It's a Nick
I
deal.
Get
we get it.
Don't. I understand.
Go ahead. Move along.
Don't do that.
Move along, Popsicle.
Before we put Steph Curry on the Knicks, the latest star that we'll probably put on the Knicks at some point.
So that's another one every week. Why not?
He's going to score at least 40 tonight against the Grizzlies. Take it or shake it.
Shake it. Yeah, they're going to bottle him up tonight. They're going to put every emphasis.
Now.
Yeah, they just going to do it.
The Grizzlies.
Yes, because it's a one and done. So they got it. They're going to just everything at him. They're going to make those other guys beat him no matter what. They're going to chase him all
Who's
over.
Guarding him?
I think
it doesn't matter.
Dylan Brooks
going to have to.
I mean, I think what?
Dylan Brooks have 5
Steph
fouls
dropped
by
46
halftime.
On them last time they played this past Sunday.
They're going to chase him around.
Yeah,
Dylan Brooks will get in foul trouble pretty quickly.
You know how Dylan Brooks got in foul trouble. I mean, Draymond started yapping with him and kind of escalated the situation.
Chase him around and just stay with him and harass him. But he won't get the 40, but he'll get like 38.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
If you're saying that.
Well, he said 40.
Yeah, okay. If you're being
I got
literal.
The Warriors winning tonight.
Yes.
I got them winning, though. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got them winning.
Grizzlies at Warriors, 8:30 Eastern, ESPN,
What's
ESPN
the spread?
Radio.
What's the spread?
Let me find that.
Yeah.
While I find that, Lakers will sweep the Suns. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I thought he said Suns will sweep the Lakers. No. Okay. Take it. Yeah.
Take it.
Gentlemen sweep.
Gentlemen sweep.
Five games. Gentlemen sweep.
No, it's going. We getting ready to roll them up. Ooh, 4-0 out. Dustpan.
I say the Suns win too.
I think six.
Yeah, I think I said six in the first half.
It's gonna be interesting in that building. That Dust building pan. Is almost capacity. Okay, like in Phoenix, like it's gonna be loud.
Just know that sometimes the Lakers have hard times with guards that can score up pick and rolls.
Yeah,
because you start messing with that lineup about Andre Drummond, AD. They have him at the five. Marcus, you can't put Marcus Gasol out there.
I get it. Marcus Gasol's chilling, but guess who we got? We got the eye. Oh my eye, we got him on our team. Oh my eye.
Move out of the way. Move out of the way. What was he doing?
Oh, my eye.
You're in my shot.
My eye. We got my eye, man. He should make T-shirts. My eye and the big eye on the back. Yeah, I love it.
Or just three blurry rims.
I would see it.
Eye the middle.
Hey, LBJ, I was seeing three. I hit the middle, baby.
The middle. Crazy.
The Warriors are a 4.5-point favorite tonight. The Warriors are a 4.5-point favorite. That's according to Caesars William Hill.
Right.
This is Take It or Shake It. It's brought to you by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is always there to help. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Last one, Tim Tebow will make the Jaguars roster. Take it or shake it.
Come on, man. Stop, man.
Take it.
Just don't walk off the set.
Don't do that.
I want to thank the Jaguars for the opportunity to compete and earn the chance to be part of this team. I know it will embrace.
Let him live.
Live your life. Him and number 85.
I embrace as I embark on this new journey. Adam Silver in 15 minutes.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.